Bibles to the book of Psalms 119, Psalm 119. Obviously, you know it's the longest chapter in the Bible, Psalm 119. And and it's interesting because the shortest one is just two before that. Psalm 117 is the shortest, two verses. You know, you ought to be able to memorize a whole chapter of the Bible right there. Amen. Psalm 119, title of the message is, It's Time to Simplify. The sermon series, this series that we're starting, it's going to go for a while. Not really sure how long, but it is called How to Simplify Your Life. Now, I'll tell you, every one of us need to simplify things in our lives. Have you ever just felt like things are just too busy, too complicated, too much going on, just time to minimalize, not only in some physical areas, but in some areas of, like for instance, the Lord's been working on me to unsubscribe to a bunch of emails that I get that tie me up every day. And I hate that. You know, but I'm the kind of guy, I don't know if you're like that, but I am. When somebody sends me something, I remember, because when we were traveling and I always sent out letters and teachings and different things, and I wanted people to read them then. So when I get stuff now, I feel like I got to read it, you know? I'm getting better. I'm getting better in that respect, because there's some people that I never ask for it and they're bombarding me with it. And one day I was out here by myself and my desk, and I just went over there and I saw this thing and I went, tore it in half, threw it in the trash. And then I'm looking in the trash. Maybe I shouldn't have done that. When somebody, I didn't even know who they are. It wasn't like a personal letter. It was a mass mailing. But we need to simplify some things. That's just one area. And to start a new year off, it's always a good thing to address this. Psalm 119, look at verse number 130. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. Do you see that? The entrance of thy words gives light. It gives understanding unto the simple. Now, as we're at the start of a new year, you know, you always hear people talking about making resolutions. I'm going to go on a diet. I'm going to start doing this. I'm going to spend more time in prayer every day. I'm not going to miss church. I'm going to blah, blah, blah. All these things that people set out to do. And that's good. And you need to set goals. The first message I ever preached in Solid Rock Church on April 10th, 1988, was set your goals. And we need to set goals. We need to set goals for this year. And there's a concept behind it. In fact, there's a Hebrew word behind it. How many of y'all have ever heard of Rosh Hashanah? Rosh Hashanah. Rosh, it's kind of a tongue twister. Rosh Hashanah literally means the lead or the first part, the beginning of the year. It's the Jewish New Year. But that word Shana, and we're Shana, she's here. It's not Shana, it's Shana. And it's not Shanana, okay? Some of you guys remember that. Shana is an interesting Hebrew word. It means literally the second, or a duplicate, or a repeat. But it has a dual meaning. Not only can it mean repeat or the second or a duplicate. How many of y'all know that if you just continue to do things the same way in your life and stick to your same routines, good or bad, you'll keep getting the same results, right? Well, you know, this is the way I go about it. Well, maybe it's time to take a look at your routine. Maybe it's time to take a look at the things that you do every day and let the Lord minister to you regarding it. The other meaning of the word shana can mean the change. It can also mean the change. So your year does not have to go like it did last year. You can actually make a change. And that points at choice, does it not? So whenever you start talking about making a resolution, you're talking about making a choice to do something. I'm going to choose to eat better this year. I'm going to choose to go to bed earlier. I'm going to choose to stay off the internet. I'm spending too much time. I'm going to choose to stop playing games all the time and wasting time. I'm going to choose to instead do this. And that's what Shana indicates. You can let the Lord minister to you and make a change. So for the year, and we're starting out, we're 4 days, 5 days in now? Five? 5 days in. Let's see what the Lord has in store for us, and maybe there are some changes you and I need to make in our own personal lives. Amen? So many people sit in church, they talk about the Lord, they hear the word, but the revelation never really, of the word, never really comes to them. They never quite get it. Now let's read this foundation one more time. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It gives understanding unto the simple. Well, so the entrance of the word gives light. Praise God for it. When the word is brought forward, it brings light. It does. But the second half of this verse, it gives understanding unto the simple, tells us why it's not happening for so many people. Look at it. The entrance of your word, or thy words, gives light. It gives understanding unto the simple. Now, the easiest way to understand this is to find out what that word simple means. And it can mean foolish. It can mean silly. Did not say stupid. You know, if somebody comes up to you and says, you are just so simple. That could be offensive, right? And we're not supposed to get offended. I know that. But if somebody calls you a simpleton, I know it's an old word, but what would that mean to you? Somebody whose elevator stops about halfway up to the top, you know what I mean? Two biscuits shy of a dozen, they're not quite all there. A simpleton. He's just happy with the way he is, you know. But look at this. The entrance of your words give light. It gives understanding unto the simple. The simple, the word for simple, literally means for those whose lives are uncomplicated. Write that down. Because that is the reason a lot of people do not receive the light of the word. The entrance of the word gives light. People sit there, they hear it, they talk about it. You know, I was in church, but it never clicks. And the reason is your life is too complicated. Your life needs to become less complicated. Can I hear an amen? Amen. I wrote this down as I was writing the sermon out to imply that that only simple, and using the definition that people have always used for that, to imply that only simple, that is stupid or foolish or silly people, can gain understanding from the word, also implies that smart people don't need it. And you know the devil has said that to people? You're smarter than all those Walmart shoppers. I'm a Walmart shopper. Huh? How many of y'all go to Walmart ever? Anybody? Lisa, I didn't see your hand go up, but I know you love Walmart. And Dave loves to take you. That's it. So, look, if read that verse again. The entrance of your words give light. It gives understanding to the simple. That's only for stupid people who can't find their way down to Walmart. It's for the stupid people, the silly people, the ones that just don't have all the advanced degrees. I beg to differ with you. We have people in this congregation that have very advanced degrees, some that don't have degrees. The fact is, you're not smart if you don't know Jesus. That really is what it boils down to. the world thinks they've got life by the tail, and what they don't realize is they're the ones being swung around. Yeah, so, that's for all those people that aren't just, no. See, that's why that interpretation of that verse is wrong. You see that? Because that implies that if you're smart, you're going to be all right. You don't really need it. And that is not true. That's why it means the entrance of your word brings light, and it gives understanding for those whose lives are uncomplicated. And that makes a whole lot more scriptural sense. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So you and I, it's not to say that we don't have some complex things in our lives. Amen. Take a look at your body. Look at your hand. I mean, your body's the most complex thing in this earth. It's complex. Now, then you can look at on your seat next to you, you've got a cell phone. That has more computing power than the first computer that launched the first flight to the moon. And you got more in your hand, more capacity in your hand. Don't tell me we don't have complex machines. We do, beginning with us. But I start to think about that. You know, like the cars today. I think they told me our car has like 38 computers in it or 40. I don't know, something like that. It's crazy. We were talking about that the other day, Jim and I. And it's like, wow. See, that's why you don't want one of those, even one of those computers to go down. Amen? That's the truth. You know, Evan, Austin, this is some of your tea. Thank you so much. You didn't know that. We took it. Oh, what's his is mine. All of what's mine is his. And, you know, so it's kind of the way it is. So we are not talking about the physical things that you have or even your body. We're talking about the management of the affairs of your life. That is what needs to become less complicated. Have you ever taking a look at the things that burden you down throughout the day and what you spend so much time working on and doing? I've had people tell me, well, Pastor Dan, you know, it's really all about obtaining more money in life. I said, man, you're really missing it. It's not about obtaining more money. God wants you well off. He wants to supply all your needs. Poverty is under the curse. You don't have to be poor. But your pursuit cannot be after money. Your pursuit needs to be after Jesus Christ. And if your pursuit is after him and fellowship with him and knocking down the things that are getting between you and him, then he will bless what you put your hand to. When people pursue finances, when they pursue prestige, titles, whatever it may be, look out. You open yourself up to something that you don't really want to be opened up to. I've seen people just for in the pursuit of money, just compromise so many things, and their family paid the greatest price so they could have a more prestigious whatever, have a bigger bottom line at the end of the year. Well, it's nice to have the money. It's nice to be able to pay your bills and not be concerned about it. Amen. I mean, there's not a one of us in here that wants to be broke. Just remember, idol worship is idolizing something and putting it ahead of the Lord. And the Lord tells us in his word to stay away from idols. Money can become an idol. Position can become an idol. Prestige becomes an idol. And you start bowing down to that idol of making more money. You'll end up sacrificing your family on the altar of success, and God does not want that for his family. Amen? Amen. All right, so as a believer, so we were talking about the entrance of the word gives light. As a believer, you have passed from darkness into the light. Amen? When you receive Jesus, he came to dwell inside, and you're no longer in the darkness, and we praise God for that. But I will say this, a lot of believers have some pretty deep shadows in their lives. How do you produce a shadow? How would I produce a shadow? If you look right now, look at the pulpit. You see the plant up there? See my hand? Okay. What's happened is something has gotten between that plant and the light source. And when it blocks the light source, it creates a shadow. Now, you're not totally in the darkness, but there's some shadows being created. And those shadows come in our lives where we allow something to get between us and God. And so basically, when something is taking a higher position of priority in our lives than it should, you're going to end up in the darkness again. Maybe not total darkness because you're born again, you know, but if you start letting things get in the way, whew, man, that's a fast track to bad things happening in your life. So what's the solution there? Well, we need to get rid of the things that distract, the things that are complicating our lives and blocking our fellowship with God. It's really that simple. I mean, we could sum up the whole series right there. We're going to go more in depth in areas on this regarding our time management, regarding how we deal with our home life and our marriages, our relationships with others and all that kind of thing, even how you handle your money. But there's definitely area here for all of us to consider. Amen. So you still stumble, and some of us still stumble about regarding things because of the shadows. And there's some things that believers don't understand yet because they're still in the dark about it. They've not spent enough time in the light to get the revelation. There's something always getting in the way. I've got to do this. I've got to take care of that. I've got to do this. And you didn't have any time with God. And then you want God to bless your finances. You want God to heal your body. You want the Lord to do all these things, and yet you're not exposing yourself to the light. These shadows have created a darkness in your life, and it causes you to stumble. I don't want that for me, and I don't want that for you. But again, this is the start of a new year. Shana. Let's see what the Lord wants us to address and to change in our personal lives so that we keep in direct contact with Him on a daily basis. Amen? Have you ever been out and you just went out in like the woods by yourself or just took a walk by yourself and you get out somewhere where there's nobody around? I know I've done this on our property. We have enough property now. I can do that. Go out and walk and just spend some time out there praying in the Spirit, talking to the Lord, letting Him bring revelation to me. It's amazing when you get alone with God, how you can begin to hear things. You see what I'm saying? You can get alone and you begin to hear Him tell you things. And you're going, you know, I really need to spend more time with God. But why is it that we have to, you know, now for me, I can go out in on our property. I know Glenn and Joan have hundreds of acres. I haven't seen Glenn walking out there lately, but doesn't mean he doesn't. Yeah, he's like, I have a Kubota. I'll take the Kubota out there. Yeah, I know. But the fact is, so many times we get out somewhere, or you have you ever been? You know, you went out fishing. I was out at one of their ponds fishing. Just so quiet and serene. And it's like, I don't hear anything. And you can start to hear the voice of the Lord speaking to you. You know, it's like, Father, you know, I got this issue going on. And I need to deal with this. And what do you have? What should I do about that thing or that individual? How do I address this? And you get quiet with Him. He's wanting to give us instruction. We're too stinking complicated in our lives. Everything else takes priority. And that's bad. This year, that has to change. You know, people come to me and they offer or have prayer requests, and I believe with them, and they receive an answer to their prayer. And then once, it's just like the classic greedy kid. They're nice to you, not our child or your child, but the way some people can be. They're real nice and kissy, kissy. Oh, you're so good. Oh, I love you. Oh, I love you. And then when they get what they want, they're gone. You ever have somebody do you that way? Come on. Every one of us have. And if you haven't, hang on. It'll happen. That's a bad confession, Pastor Dan, when you're nice to people. And you know, but how many times have we done that to the Lord? Oh, Lord, I promise I'm going to do this, this, and this, and then pfft, I got what I want. Fool you on that business. I'm going to get my groove on. What groove is the question? So, in all of that, you need to address where you're at every day. Have you ever been in a really dark room and then you go outside and it's like bright, sunny noon? Huh? What happens to your eyes? What do? You squint. Pure and simple, right? Austin, are these lights up all the way? Put them up all the way once. Oh, gee. Okay. I made the point. Put them back where they were. When you go from darkness out into light, there's a transition. You know, your pupils do their thing. But your eyes are trying to adjust to the light, and people squint. Believers do that when they get the light of the word in their lives. They'll come to that point where they hear something preached, and they're going, you want me to give my money into the church or into somebody's life and bless them? Give in order to receive? Huh? And the squint is on. You want me to love my wife as Christ loves the church? Lord, what? And people squint at revelation, at light, until they begin to adjust. And the longer that you are in the word, the more you begin to see. I can stand up here with the lights even up bright. I'm used to it. Now, when he cranked them up and I looked at them, it was pretty bright. I don't mind telling you. But one of the things that when I was teaching tennis years ago, one of the things that I always told people when you're serving, if you have to serve in the sun is right there, it's a pretty simple little concept. When you give your service toss, you don't toss it right where you're looking right into the sun. Sun's right over here. Toss it over here this time. Toss it out this way. Don't look at the sun. Focus on the ball. Well, I'll tell you, you can adjust to things, and in time, you're good with it. You get the revelation. The light is there. You're not squinting all the time now. Amen. But complications that keep you from receiving from the Lord the understanding that you need in order to walk in the things of God the way that he wants you to, those complications, those things in your life that you need to eliminate, it's up to you to eliminate it. See, pastor's not going to do it for you. And I got news for you. The Lord's not going to do it for you either. Oh, God, take this. Take this. It's just like the guy saying, I'll take my offering and throw it up in the air, and whatever you want, you grab. Whatever hits the floor is mine. God's not going to. Wouldn't that be something? You threw your money up in there and it'll... Whoa. That's silly, but the fact of the matter is people do that. Turn over to Psalm 46. So here we go. There's a key. There's a key to you and I knowing the Lord and having the revelation like we need to and should in our lives. Look at Psalm 46, verse 10. A lot of you know this verse. What does it say? Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. We see that? Be still and know. So what you could say is if you're never getting still, you're not going to know him. That didn't shoot right over your head, did it? No, I didn't think so. I'll say it again. Unless you're going to learn how to be still, you're not going to know the Lord like you should. Complicated lifestyles don't leave time for God. Don't leave time for you getting alone with him to spend some time basking in the light of his word. And if everything else is taking priority in your life, you say, well, that's easy for you to say. Are you kidding me? I got more things today in my life than I've ever had. But you have to make choices. You have to put first things first. And the first thing you put is your time with him. And if you do that, that's called seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. It's an interesting concept. It's literally in the Hebrew language talking about, because Matthew, Mark, Luke, and the first 15 chapters of the book of Acts were originally communicated in Hebrew. Okay, John was all in Greek. But here's the thing. You know, as we look in those verses of Scripture, especially like Matthew 6, the one I just quoted to you, verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Literally, the Hebrew equivalent there, yeah, it talks tzedakah for righteousness, but it also brings in the concept of holiness. Now, I'll tell you something. People say, well, I don't want to live by a set of rules. Well, hold on a minute. So anything goes? See, that doesn't work, does it? I don't want you to be into works, but I want you to understand that there is cause and effect in your life regardless. It's been there from the beginning. The wage of sin is still death. The wage of sin was death in the Old Testament. Still was. Still is today. So if you say, well, you know, I don't want to be brought under the power of those rules, this is a very slippery slope and a dangerous thing if you start misapplying and misinterpreting the word regarding your actions. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus as a born-again man or woman, boy or girl. You're in right standing with the Father, yes. But righteousness is instantaneous in your life. When you received Jesus, you became the righteousness of God in Christ. Holiness, whole nother ball game. What is that based upon? You resisting the complications of life that pull you away from God. God wants us to live a holy lifestyle. When Ann, I'll just share this with you. When Ann and I first got married, I had been looking for a wife, you know. Not like, ooh, she's a wife. I didn't do that. But as a single man, I was keeping my eyes open, you know. Lord, where is she? She's got to be around somewhere. If she's not born yet, I'm going to be 50 by the time I'm married. And, I want to have a family and all that. So after we got married, and I'm very happy with my wife, we'd pull up at a stoplight, and I'd glance over. There'd be a single girl or a woman in the vehicle. And I'd look, and she'd say, what are you looking at? I'm like, force of habit, honey. I apologize. And really, that is not polite. And you have to retrain yourself not to be checking out the women around you, guys. Yeah, but I'm not married yet. Well, you can check them out without lusting, that's for sure. But as a married man, that will carry over if you don't address it. Am I speaking the truth? Come on, raise your hand if I'm speaking the truth. Let me see all the guys that understand what I'm talking about. That's for you, Jason. Where are you? Yeah. Hey, Jason, I didn't say that. She said it, and I repeated. She just said, that's for Jason. or teasing, okay? Oh, my goodness. So you have to make adjustments in your life. Holiness is progressive. Paul said it. Peter wrote it. As be ye holy as I am holy. Paul said, be an imitator of me as I imitate Christ. Mimetes is the Greek word. We get the English word mimic. Mimic me as I mimic Christ. Your walk of holiness is progressive. If you think for 1 minute, I'm not talking about your spirit being holy. That's called righteousness. And your spirit is holy instantly. That is the place where God dwells. You walking that holiness out in your actions, the way you respond to things, is progressive as you take the word and apply it. Amen. So you ought to be a little getting better at it as you go. Amen. All right. Praise God. So this being still. Stillness is the key. You got to learn to be still. I mean, my mom would tell us that. We'd be sitting in church, Catholic church. We grew up Catholic, you know. Be sitting there and be still. And then one day she reached over and pinched my leg. And I looked at her and I screamed, ow! Ooh, that didn't go well. They had a room in the back of the church called the crying room. And if you weren't crying when you went in there, after you got in there, you were bawling your eyes out, I'll guarantee you. And I spent some time in the crying room. You remember? Don't look at me innocent like that. John, you remember when I had said something to her? I called her a dumb something. Yes, you know what I'm saying? Kids. Cussed at my mama. She grabs me, gets me in the headlock. You know, and people be screaming, oh, child abuse, child abuse. Yeah, man, my mama was a tough rumbler. Look at her. I mean, she. So she gets me in the headlock. She got me in there, and I'm eating this bar of soap. Horrible. He starts screaming, you let my brother alone. He's beating on the door. I'm like, John, help me. I'm eating this. All of a sudden, I see mom's got him here. Has me like this, you know, and she reaches up, grabs him by the shirt, pulls him in, and now he's eating soap with me. It was great, man. It was great. Yeah, good job, mama. You know, I called her a word one time after that when I was bigger than her. I wasn't saved yet. I was bigger than mama, and I said, you're a dumb blinkety blank. She looked at me. Now, I wasn't saved, okay? Listen to me, you young people that are saved, and you know we're all saved in here now. You don't talk like that to your mom. You don't talk like that to your dad. You don't talk like that to anybody. But as an unrenewed person, that was cool, man. I knew how to flip them out there, boy. All I was showing was my ignorance. Okay, but that's the time she had the wet dish rag in her hand. And she went like this with that dish rag, and I ducked. Next thing I know, I see it coming up my face. Oh. I said, you ought to what? I ought to go in the other room, actually. You know, nowadays kids think they can talk however they want to their parents. They think they can say whatever they want. I thought I could, too. The only difference was, I paid a price for it. There are parents today, always a little sweetie pie. Oh, you little sweetie pie, you called me a blankety blank. I love you anyway. Don't you know I love you? That kid needs to eat some ivory, man. Or zest. Yahoo! Get something with some deodorant in it, you know. We were disciplined for that, and that didn't last. It didn't last. Amen. Kids need to be taught the right things today. So, okay, let's quickly, I'm going to wrap this up. You don't have to be still to know about God. You hear me? What does the word say? Be still and know that I am God. You will not know him like you should if you're not still. But a lot of people know about him, and they're not still. They're not spending time. What they do is they study a little bit, and they get a little something, they get a little head knowledge about this, that. They don't really know him like they could or should. That comes from being still. To know, to ascertain, the word there in Hebrew, to ascertain by seeing. Well, you do realize that when you have a revelation, you see something in the word, right? Doesn't mean automatically an open vision, I'm going to see the Lord. Well, that'd be really cool. But the fact of the matter is, Jesus said to Thomas, because Thomas was like, I won't believe unless I can thrust my hands and Jesus into his side and feel the prints in his hands and all that. And Jesus said, blessed are they that believe and have not seen, right? So really, it's not about physically seeing. It's about catching a revelation. Catch the revelation. Remember what the Lord told Abraham? Whatever you can see, I'll give to you. Remember? Lot wanted that certain portion, and he got it. And Abraham ended up being the richest guy all over the place. Oh, my. So that principle applies to you and I. If you can see it in the Word, you can have it. If you catch the revelation. But that's going to demand that you be still and know that he's God. So look at this one more time. To be still means to, listen, forsake or leave, let alone, abate, let go of, stop, to slacken or cease, to forsake. In order to be still, you're going to have to forsake some things. Yeah, well, I love that show. Why don't we all address the TV that we watch? Ooh, boy. And where is it on your place of priorities? Does it take priority over the word? That's between you and God. It's not your call to tell that person to cancel their Dish network or whatever. It's not up to you to say that. Dish is the only one that you can get the Victory Network on it, by the way. Kenneth and Gloria and Dennis Burke's getting one ready to go on there. Anyway, so be still and know. The word know, to ascertain by seeing. Be still, to slacken or cease, forsake, leave, let alone, abate, to let go, stop. Every one of us need to get to that place of still. Be still. This is a good time to address it in your life because we're right at the front end of a year. It's time to make some changes and to say, okay, there are things I don't need to be involved in. There's things I don't need to be doing. That's busy work. If you're like me, you get bogged down with things that people try to get you to do, or the emails, or things like that, because you're a giving person, you're a loving person, you want to help, you want to do this, that, and the other, and finally, all of a sudden, you're not having the time for the things you need to be doing. It shouldn't take you going out on vacation and sitting on a beach in Bermuda by yourself to hear the voice of the Lord. You ought to be able to do it at your house. You ought to be able to do that today. You don't need to spend money on an exotic vacation to get alone so you can hear from God. I need to go somewhere to hear from God. Well, try your quiet place at home. And then people come along and say, well, I don't have a quiet place. There you go. That's why you don't know God like you could. Amen. See, this is not meant to condemn. It's meant to say, okay, it's time to make some changes. Amen. Okay, quickly, Isaiah 40, verses 28 through 31. That's that portion of scripture that says, they that wait upon the Lord, he'll renew their strength. You remember that? Waiting upon the Lord and being still kind of go hand in hand. But waiting on the Lord, that particular verse, that means to do it with patient expectation when you're sitting before God. You expect him to talk to you. When you get into quiet time with God, you need to be expecting that he's going to show you what you have need of in your life. Some of you are struggling with things. You need answers. Get alone. Get alone with him. I don't know enough word. Hey, you're born again. You're his child. Get alone with him. After you hear something, you always need to check it out in the word, make sure that it lines up, because he won't tell you something that doesn't line up with this word. But you still need to do it. Then in Luke chapter 10, write these down, verses 38 through 42. This is the example of Mary and Martha. And Mary did what? She sat at the feet of Jesus. You remember that? That was a Hebraic term for being discipled by somebody. So she went after that part that was really most noteworthy. And Martha was ticked off because Mary didn't help her get the food together. Now, part of me can see and understand somebody not liking it, that they're over here doing this thing and I'm stuck in the kitchen. Y'all ever felt like that? Men, ladies, any of you? Oh, they're being misspiritual over there, and I'm slaving over this hot stove. Jesus, tell her. Martha was a good servant. There are a lot of people that serve in the church, but they're never really taking time to get quiet with the Lord like they should. You need to have some time at the feet of Jesus. You need to spend some time at his feet. At the start of a year is a good time to establish that practice in your life. He knows the answer to your situation right there. He knows who he has planned for you in the future. Those of you that are believing God to get married, he knows. He knows all this stuff. And you're sitting around going after stuff here, stuff there, running here, doing this, doing that, chasing this, ignoring God, not getting quiet, not being still, and wondering why nothing is happening. It's time. It's time. It's time to simplify some things in your life. You let the Lord tell you what you need to simplify, whatever it is, and whatever he tells you to do, you do it. I'll leave you with this. Sin complicates your life. Being obedient simplifies your life. This is just an introduction to this series. It's going to go probably 12 weeks or more. So, please, go ahead, stand to your feet. Have you ever seen somebody when they get into a sin in their life of some kind? And I've heard stories like this. People that start lying to their spouse about something. You know, you heard of people having an affair with some little sweet thing at the office? And how complicated that life becomes now. They've got to remember every lie they've told, and they've got to keep covering their tracks and keep making up new lies. And then what happens if that person goes on with that garbage? Then there's a breakup now. If there's kids involved, the kids are affected by it. Sin complicates life. Sin will destroy lives. So that's why walking holy before him is your best route to go. Amen. Being obedient always simplifies your life. Father, we thank you. Bow your head with me. Father, we thank you and praise you for this day. We give you glory and honor and thanksgiving for your love that you have sown in us this day. Thank you, Father, for the word that we've heard, albeit from a man with a bass voice, but I'll be singing soprano tomorrow. Father, we thank you and praise you and give you the glory that, Lord, you minister to us. We want to know what you want us to do. We want to hear from you. And we will take time to be still and stop pursuing things that are nothing but time wasters. So in the name of Jesus, I thank you for my brothers and sisters doing what you say to do, making a decision to simplify their life. Get the priorities in line where they need to be. And we thank you for that this day. In Jesus' name, come on, if you all agree, say amen.